And we'll turn to Philippians 2. We'll turn to Philippians 2, and we'll read passages 14 through 16. Philippians 2 says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain," says Paul. You'll notice that it says that we live in a crooked and perverse generation. That's quite obvious. I was going to say duh, but anyway. That is an accurate description of the times that we live in. I think we're all quite aware of that. So what this text is saying to each and every one of us here is that we have the responsibility in this crooked and perverse generation to act, to literally act and live as the children of God, and to shine as lights into this very dark and decaying world. But sometimes we could easily feel a bit deflated or defeated, if you will, especially in the light of the events of the last 4 to 5 years, wouldn't we all agree? Now we see the power structure of this country being taken over by people who are godless and contrary to Scripture. It's easy to become discouraged, especially if we value and care about righteousness and truth sometimes, isn't it? Now, but our culture is deep into personal sin and wickedness, and not in a hidden way anymore. It's flaunted, and I think we all know that. It's almost like this culture is mocking God directly in his face. And now we have our political, cultural, and educational leaders advocating fornication, homosexuality, transsexuality, divorce, and on it goes. In short, absolute pure iniquity. And now the people advocating those things have more power than they've had in the past. We also understand that God has turned man over to a reprobate mind. Romans 1. Very simple. So the question to all of us is this: what do we do now? How then shall we live in this crooked and perverse world? What do we do now? So how do we respond to all of this? Well, I believe Philippians 2 gives us very clear and foundational instructions on how we are to respond. How do we live in this crooked and perverse world? Today, we'll take a look at three very simple but very foundational features of Philippians 2. Basic realities to help us navigate our lives while prophecy unfolds before our very lives. And they are, if you're taking notes, here we are. Number one, where we are. Number two, who we are. And number three, how we are to live. In the spirit of full disclosure, this sermonette was actually inspired by a sermon given by our pastor a few weeks ago titled "The Apathy Crisis." And so let's jump right in with it, right? We'll turn with number one, where we are. And I'm sure we all know this, but this is foundational. It's very, we need to get this right. So where we are, Philippians 2:15, in the midst, quote, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now that was certainly true for the Philippians at the time who received this letter from Paul. They're living in that city of Philippi. Now, quick history lesson. I love history. That's another part about me. I love history. So I just kind of dove into that a little bit. 42 years before Jesus, a great battle of 200,000 men was waged there in Philippi with 90,000 casualties. That was a massive battle. It was called the Battle of Philippi, okay? It really reflected the Roman Revolution. It was Antonius Caesar with 110,000 soldiers against Brutus and Cassius with 90,000. And as a result of that battle, many Roman soldiers actually settled there in that city of Philippi, resulting a city as pagan and morally corrupt as any Roman city could ever hope to be. And as we may know, God led Paul to establish the first church there in Europe in the city of Philippi. Now, to be clear, this was a very poor church. This was a persecuted church. This was a church that was being assaulted by false teachers. This was a church that was also struggling mightily with discord and disunity. Now, I might say we all are probably very familiar with that in our recent history. Now, I want you to notice the word crooked in verse 15. The Greek word for this is scolios, from which we get scoliosis, from which we get scoliosis of the spine and twisting and curvature. It means to be bent and to be twisted, to be deviated from the standard. And I dare say our current civilization actually fits that quite well. He adds a second word there, crooked and perverse. They're in a sense synonyms. Perverse is diastropho, meaning to distort. It's two ways of saying the same thing. First word means to twist. The next one means to distort. So that's where we are, especially in the light of prophecy, especially in the light of prophecy. We are right where God has called and placed every last one of us here. Just as God called those people and placed those people in that church in Philippi, no different. Now that we know where we are, let's answer the question of who we are, okay? Who we are in this crooked and perverse generation, that's also found in verse 15. Convenient, right? We are begotten children of God. We are lights in this dark world. We have two identifications there. And I know we're all very familiar with that. We are, one, citizens of God's coming kingdom. And number two, we are also ambassadors of that kingdom into this very dark world of Satan. Mind you, we are living in two. We are part of two kingdoms. We are living in and amongst Satan's kingdom. And we are also citizens of that soon coming kingdom to this earth. So this is Satan's kingdom. And Satan's children will behave like their father. Just as John 8:42, I'm just going to quote it. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. And the flip side of that, Proverbs 4:18, I'm not going to turn there, but I am going to quote it. The NIV version, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Now we know where we are. We know who we are. And we are exactly where God has put us, to be his begotten children, proclaiming the gospel to a dark world as a witness, and to shine the light of the truth of God and the glory of the gospel in the midst of this present evil darkness. Now we come to number three, the third one. We come to the third and practical response. What are we to do? How do we live? Well, our manifesto was given in verse 16. We're still in Philippians 2, verse 16. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul was admonishing them to keep the hold fast, stay the course. So we start with the foundation. We are exactly where God wants us to be. Who we are? Begotten children of God. And how do we live in this parallel universe? The question? Well, there are several ways we could attack that question. But for starters, and this is only a sermonette. Well, for starters, we see in verses 5 through 11, I'm not going to quote it, but we see an imperative or a command, if you will, that will shed some light on the question of how do we live. Now, for the sake of time, I'm only going to give you the cliff notes, if you will, of verses 5 through 11. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. That's the absolute pull quote of the day, who humbled himself. So how are we to live? Well, we're to live in humility. That's the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, right? That's the Beatitudes of Matthew 5. So we're to have the same attitude that our Lord had when he emptied himself and took on the form of a slave. And then because he humbled himself, God exalted him highly. So the imperative is to put on, to have utter and total humility, the very essence of the spring holidays, very essence of the spring holidays. So what are we called to do then? Well, we're to be humble, we're to be holy, to be faithful in proclaiming the word that gives life to a dark and dying world. The Great Commission. That's why we're here, to proclaim into this dark, perverted, and crooked world the message of the coming kingdom of God. And to effectively do that, we must understand where we are in the light of prophecy, who we are, and how we are to live. Three very important, simple concepts to keep in mind as we approach and keep the spring holidays.